government is the problem.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
We'll put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, here's the second start. I'll do it this time right. I'll give you the right date. Maybe you didn't like the date. 9 February 2011. It's Wednesday. People are saying they're stuck in a loop in the chat room. Lou, make sure you work with them. Keep watching that little chat room thing there, Lou. Make certain we know that they can hear. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We come to you Monday through Friday from Cahuilla, California. We're a commonwealth. We are in the Central California mountain range area. San Joaquin Valley's down below us. Huh?
He said it was okay now.
Okay, it's okay now. Good, we are getting out. And if you know where Visalia is, we're in the mountains about 40 miles due east above Visalia. Turn off your speaker over there. I'm getting feedback. Come on, man. And we, every Monday through Friday, we try to do 2 hours a day. We do an hour on Liberty Tree Radio, the second hour. But we try to bring you a Christian militant worldview, a preparedness worldview, not a maniacal, oh, the world is falling apart, we're all going to die worldview, but that if we're going to survive whatever calamities come, we have to stick together and train. And that's what we do here. Right now I'm trying to get something up on Facebook. Hang on, guys. Control V. And pop it up. And let the people on Facebook know what we're doing. It's the computers are lagging today really, really bad. We haven't been on the internet much today, so I don't know if this is something atypical. Maybe China's attacking again or something. But we went out to lunch, and we usually bring our computers along to get free Wi-Fi to upload, download, sideload, whatever. And the internet wasn't working then either. So I was hoping it was just the businesses we were in. But, man, are they dragging right now. Dragging, dragging, dragging. So I probably won't be in the chat room because that may be slowing down our server with both of us on there. So I'm going to depend on Lou here to tell me what's going on in the chat room. Okay, I got that. And I'm going to hit this. Bear with us, folks. My apologies. Doesn't sound like the most professional thing in the world, but as soon as we went on, we lost the signal. And maybe, is it because you're loading up too many pictures, do you think, Lou?
No, because I did.
Yeah. Don't worry about the pictures right now. Let's make sure we get the audio out. Let the pictures kind of do whatever they're going to do. Because we don't want to. We lost yesterday's show, which was unique for what we do here on Ustream. We didn't want Ustream to be like you broadcast, but we did lose a whole show. Fortunately, Lou was able to get up the link to the archive because fortunately Olima, who listens as a guest, was able to get the archive up really quick. So a lot of people went and listened to it in the archive. I don't want to submit a crash report. Go away. But we get this show out no matter what, and we have varied topics. I got some really good information from Minuteman about a training class that goes on around the world. On Point, I think it's called On. Now I forgot the website. But anyway, we're going to be talking about some stuff that I got from that website. Let me find it here. See if it added it. No, it erased all my bookmarks. Great. Oh, I'm on a different computer. See, I use too many different laptops here. These notebook computers, and it confuses me. But I've got this saved here. But one of the biggest questions that I get, and we're not going to really jump into the news today. There's really nothing much new in the news today. You know, a lot of stupidity around the world, that kind of stuff. More of the same old, downward spiral of hits by the world leaders and consortiums and you know, Illuminati, the Jews, whoever, you know, just pick on whoever you want and just realize, you know, things are getting a little worse, things are getting a little tighter. I got some video today, I can't watch videos here, that said, you know, alert, alert, martial law, ready for America, and I'm like, well, where have you been? When I get these from these new conservative patriotic groups that have grown out of the Tea Party movement, I'm like, yeah, we've already got roadblocks and stuff in our state, and they're pulling everybody over and doing 100% security checks. One good thing today, for those of you that don't know, we are right by Sequoia National Park, which is a national park. And Obongo last year signed a bill that allowed, because it was snuck in there, he had to sign this budget bill, but in there was the right for people to carry weapons inside national parks again, because they had revoked it, I think, under Reagan or maybe Bush, too. And anyway, so it came back that you can carry a gun in the outback here, and you can have a gun in your campground and that kind of stuff for protection from wild animals of the four- and two-legged type. Well, they kept the signs up everywhere that say, you know, this is Sequoia National Park, no pets or firearms allowed and all this kind of stuff. Well, we've been going by the sign. I sent an email to the park into the museum where this sign was at. And it was at the museum where you could go buy passes to get into the park. And so today we went by there, and I noticed in the bottom corner somebody had taped up a sign wrapped in plastic and taped it up there. When it walked up, it says, I worded it really funny. I should have taken a picture of it, but it was like, this is a historical sign representing the type of signs that may be used in the area. Please note that these laws are no longer enforced. Not that they're no longer laws, but these laws are no longer enforced, or these things are no longer prohibited. I thought it was funny, and it's like in a little corner of the parking lot. So they still want people to think that you can't bring firearms into the park, but that's just the way they work. And it's, you know, that was kind of funny today. I was looking at the economic page. Cotton. Per dollar, I mean, for, you know, even if you adjust for, you know, being 100 and some years later, cotton hasn't been this expensive in the world since the War of Federal Aggression. It went from 68 cents a pound to over $1.80 a pound within a week or so. And it's because of the storms in Asia and stuff have wiped out those cotton crops. So if you're growing cotton in America, you're making big bucks. You're going to have three times the money. But of course, you know, that means things like jeans, blankets, anything that's got cotton in it. Your little bottle of aspirin that's got that cotton ball in there, guess what? That little cotton ball just went up three times the price. So if it was a penny before, it's going to be 3 cents now, which means you're going to make it 30 cents more because that's just the way corporate America works. So that was pretty interesting. More on the Bravo Milk thing that I told you about last week, where they came in and here in, Prather, whatever. Anyway, Bravo Cheese, Bravo Dairy, it's a place here in our area that produced cheese using raw milk. I read the story last night again. Last year, there were 38 complaints of people getting either E. coli or Listeria. And somehow they tracked it back to Bravo Cheese. They confiscated 80,000 pounds of cheese, three specific kinds of cheese, Gouda, cheddar, and then some other kind of cheese I never heard of. But 80,000 pounds of cheese they just took. And what is really hilarious is that at the meeting Monday night, there was a representative from the tourism board there that said, oh, look, we've got this new internet map page where you can just click on it. He goes, you want to go to Bravo Cheese and enjoy their great cheeses? I'm like, not anymore, because they got shut down by the U.S. Marshals and USDA and FDA and everybody else. Now, we drove by there the other day. They're still open for business, but they have like a tourism thing. You can get a hamburger there. You can do all this stuff. But 80,000 pounds of cheese was confiscated. Now, they've been allowed to reopen and start manufacturing cheese because they put in a pasteurization system. So it was just brutality. You know, they went in, they said, you're going to do it the way we want. And I read four articles on it, and there was no way. I mean, there's nothing that said that they proved that those 38 people got sick there. I could find nothing on it. I'm sure that the FDA or, you know, Homeland Security or the Gestapo has something. But no one was killed. Two people were hospitalized in a year period from eating there. Now, I bought a microwave burrito at the gas station that's right there. Now, they may not be affiliated It's Shell gas station, and I got sick from that burrito. So should we shut down the Shell station too? I don't understand this mentality. Now, 38 people is a lot. That's more than two a month. I understand that. That's three a month. But how many people get sick the next day after they've been somewhere and blame it on a food when they don't even know what it is? Most people don't even know the gestation period for food poisoning, much less where what they ate and how they did it. There is no word in the newspaper that they were going to test the cheese to see if the cheese they confiscated. But get this. They said there were several violations that were seen while they were there during the raid. A worker, I hope you're sitting down for this, touched his chin, then touched cheese product. Ooh. The funniest one was a rabbit was seen running around the premises.
Oh, my God.
A rabbit. So they had to confiscate 80,000 pounds of cheese. It didn't say that they took samples and found E. coli. It didn't say. And the thing that's weird to me is Bravo just basically bent over backwards to appease them, put in the system to pasteurize, which means they basically heat up the milk to a certain degree and kill the bacteria, and then they let it go. So Bravo Cheese will be making cheese again. They didn't get completely shut down, but they were forced to bow down and stop using raw milk. Interesting concept. They just, once they can control the food, that's it. And they're practicing on these smaller to mid-sized companies. They're gonna go after people for hoarding. They're going to go after people for gardening. We already see that. They passed the seed bill. They passed the gardening bill. They're just going to wait to enforce it. So it makes me want to go out. And it's like I'm real militant about buying ammo and things, you know, just to show them a message. But now let's start buying seeds. Let's start getting our own goats and making our own cheese without them telling us to boil it or anything. Learning these skills is going to be imperative. Luke, make sure you have the chat room up in case somebody's talking, because I do not have the chat room up. I don't know what they're talking about. What did it say? Who cut the cheese? The USDA cut the cheese. Cut it and took it right out of their factory. Out of their store, their retail store. But if you're not going to grow your own food, and even if you're going to grow your own food, you're going to need the energy to plant it and wait for it to grow. If you're going to raise your own food, you're going to need the energy to do good animal husbandry, to be a good little farmer Bill, farmer Bob or Jane or whatever you are, farmer Debbie, farmer Lou. That way you have to have the strength, so you have to have a supply of food on hand. Now our friends in the LDS, who we call the Mormons, they do 2 years, 3 years, whatever, you know, minimums a year. They're telling their people now, from the stuff I'm getting from our friends in the church there, to have everything ready by like next October, stored and everything bought up. And people are panicking. This is the most common thing. Well, where do I start? I don't have any money. Well, let me tell you what our budget is. Our budget is about $50 a month. Every month we set aside to put food for long storage. That's the minimum we do, $50 a month. But we were looking at it, and we were thinking probably $25 or $30 a month for a family of two or four. You could do a pretty good amount. And I found this. Online. It's at tacticalintelligence.net. 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 Now they have a 52-week program, 52 weeks on $5 a week. $5 a week. That kind of works out to about the same that we're doing. The only thing I don't like is the order in which they do it. Like in week one, they tell you to go out and buy 6 pounds of salt. Week two, 5 cans of cream of chicken soup, which we buy tons of. Week three, 20-pound bag of sugar. Well, let's say you go through all this and by week seven, something hits. Here's what you've got. 6 pounds of salt, 5 cans of cream chicken soup, 20 pounds of sugar, 8 cans of tomato soup, a 50-pound bag of wheat, 6 pounds of macaroni and 20 pounds of sugar. What are you going to make with that? So the way we recommend you do it, and what we're going to do here tonight, is I'm going to tell you how we do it and how we front load with things that are easy, both to cook, full of calories, they store long, and transportable. And you can eat them raw, too. Like we'll tell you for the first month, the very first month, you find out what it is that your kids like, your wife will eat, what you'll eat, that you don't need to heat up. And if it's as simple as beans and weenies, you can live on beans and weenies. And you set aside $30, and you buy 30 to 40 cans of whatever it is. Ravioli comes to mind. You buy 40 cans of ravioli. Even better. And you're going to be saying, well, I can't survive just on ravioli. Actually, you can if you have to. Ramen would be the first thing I would tell people to get. Buy as much ramen as you can for $30 and store it that first month. Put $30 into ramen and buy as much as you can of it. Or beans and weenies, or ravioli. Ramen's going to last a little longer, but you have to cook it. The cool thing about ravioli is I've eaten it cold, and it doesn't really faze me. Lou likes SpaghettiOs. It's all the same, and we find it for about 80 cents a can. Where we go to, what's the name of the place? Food Max? Not Food Max. The new Winco. Okay. We go to Winco, and they have all kinds of sales. So the first few purchases, whether you do it by the month or every other week or by the week, if you want to do $10 a week, whatever, that's fine. Get a bulk type of food that you can easily eat, process, lots of calories in it. Read the cans. You'll see how many calories is in a can of SpaghettiOs. You'll be surprised how many servings are in there. And psychologically, it may be miserable eating that every night, but I don't care. For me, every time we go to the store, I get 10 cans of chili and set them aside. 10 cans of chili. I mix the chilies, whatever's on sale, under $1 a can, Hormels, whatever it is, I don't care. And I stash those in the barrel. I stash those on a shelf. I put those in a box. We got a bunch of those big plastic containers that Walmart sells, Wally World. Anybody that goes to Walmart full-time is now a Walmartian. And we don't go there full-time, though. But we get these big plastic containers. We have whole containers full of nothing but canned foods. Once you've gotten, when you look at it and you figure 3 cans a day per person, once you've gotten at least a month, then maybe you start switching to the other stuff. Like, you know, we get 25-pound bags of oatmeal, 25-pound bags of rice to augment the other stuff that you have. But all this is going to do you no good if you haven't already gone into your kitchen and found a pot, a frying pan, a spoon, a ladle, some cups, some bowls, and some plates that you can set aside and have them ready to go in a pack or something. You don't have to go out and buy this stuff. You probably have extra stuff already. Let's see who this is. Uh-oh, I think it's Larry Wick. Hang on. Go ahead and play a song, Lou. This is Dutch.
Once there was a mountain man who couldn't write his name, yet he deserves a front row seat in history's hall of fame. He forgot more about the Indians than we will ever know. He spoke the language of the Sioux, the Blackfoot and the Crow.
Best drink to old Jim Bridger, yes, let your glasses high.
As long as there's a USA, don't let his memory die.
That he was making history never once occurred to him.
But I doubt if we'd have been here if it weren't for men like Jim. He spoke with General Custer and said, listen, yellow hair, the Sioux are a great nation, so treat them fair and square. Sit in on their war council, don't laugh away their pride. But Custer didn't listen, at Little Big Horn Custer died.
Let's drink to old Jim Bridger, yes, lift your glasses high.
As long as there's a USA, don't let his memory die.
That he was making history never once occurred to him.
But I doubt if we'd have been here if it weren't for men like Jim. Their poems and their son's fame, yet compared to Jim Bridger, it was civilized and tame. These words are straight from Carson's lips, if you place such store by him. If there's a man who knows this God-forsaken land, it's Jim.
Let's drink to all Jim Bridger, yes, let your glasses high.
As long as there's a USA, don't let his memory die.
That he was making history never once occurred to him.
But I doubt if we'd have been here if it weren't for men like Jim.
Oh. Okay, we're back. Sorry about that, folks, but the business of our militia, our church, and our community always comes first. And it was Larry Wick. And I apologize again for breaking in there. We're not going to do our we'll do a break in about 45 minutes or something, Lou. So it looks like we've got a date for our Larry Wick training. It's going to be the weekend of May 20th. The weekend of May 20th. And I'm rather excited about that because that would be like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 20th being the Friday, of course. And that will be $150. You're going to get almost 3 days of street fight training. The real deal. If you haven't checked them out, go to splitsecondsurvival.com. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Splitsecondsurvival.com. But back to what we were talking about. We'll talk about Larry Wick later. I'm going to have a phone conference with him tomorrow, and we'll get everything settled. Make sure that, like I said, let's reiterate, building a food cache doesn't need to be overwhelming. You don't have to take $500 right now and go buy everything. We're in a period of grace, and we have time. But do it wisely. Load the front end with food that you can make quickly. Get your camp stove. That's where I was going. Get your camp stove out. Check it. Figure out, you know, you can take a can of ravioli, three rocks and some twigs and heat it up. But you have to have a Gerber tool to grab it and a spoon to eat it, right? So give yourself the basics. Give yourself the minimum tools to survive. I mean, training is far more important than tools. Don't get me wrong. But the mindset is part of the training. And having this stuff set aside in a couple duffel bags. Now, it's really good to have these really huge, huge bags of food laying around, but are you going to run with 50 pounds of wheat on your back? No. So think compartmentally. Have a small set that you can run with, a small set that you can load into a car, and then if things stay peaceable and where you're at, have a food that you garrison with. The other thing you got to look into is high-calorie, high-energy tuna. Cans of tuna are cheap right now. I find them for 50 cents each. That's two cans for a dollar. You can feed two people off a can of tuna. You throw that into some ramen noodles, and you get yourself Chinese cuisine, Asian food galore. Grab a bunch of teriyaki sauce, throw it all over it. It tastes really good. I personally use mustard. Oh, did you just break some more headphones? I use mustard on my tuna because mayonnaise needs refrigeration once you open it. So get used to that, too. You might want to start training yourself. Soups and stews, they're a little more expensive than what I've been talking about so far, unless you shop around. But you get what you pay for with a soup, trust me. You go and buy the cheap Campbell's, you know, soup that you have to add fluids to. You know, you're not going to... What? It's all salt, too. So if you're going to get soups and stews, read those labels. That's right, Debbie's is the one that over my shoulder that said it's all salt. But what we get are the bags of soup mix. You can go to the Winco that we go to, and we buy pounds and pounds of dried soup mix. You have to have a water source for this. We're very fortunate where we are. We're surrounded by water. Rivers, springs, wells. Oh, my computer just died. Look at that. Isn't that weird? I'm getting updates here. But I can continue. My computer just started to update itself without letting me know. Weird, huh? Someone's controlling my computer. So the dried stuff is really good. You don't, and we can sell freeze dried food if people want it. We have access. We get a discount through Mountain House. But it's maybe too late for that now. Maybe we don't have a whole lot of time. You might have at least 6-7 months before things get bad economically. I'm not talking violence. I'm talking you losing your job. Financial people say you should have enough to survive for 3 months in cash. Well, I could care less about cash because I'm just not going to, you know, I am where I am. I don't always understand what folks that have a mortgage and all that go through. To be fair, I don't understand that. But if you're going to stay in your house, it's best to have this stuff. So after you get the bulk foods that you can eat raw, you know, you can eat unheated, the processed foods, which aren't going to be the greatest for you. Then you can start looking at the bulk foods. Then you start looking at the spices and the things that make life a little bit nicer. Spices are great. Spices are great. Things that you can use to make jerky with, to preserve things. The salts, the sugars. That's my plan. We did that after we had the bulk foods, after we had the canned foods. Then we went after the spices, and we buy spices all the time. Bay leaves for keeping the bugs out of stuff. I don't even know what spices to get half the time, so I buy a little bit of everything. I buy bulk spices. I buy the small spices because, get this, what were the gifts that Jesus got when he was a baby? One was gold, but what were the other two? Spices. Spices are going to be a currency. If I can hand somebody beef jerky flavoring spice in a little can, in a little container, and say, "Hey, look, I'll trade you 5 gallons of gasoline. You can make a month's supply of jerky with this." See what I mean? Go after those things and look for those things. Things for making base foods like breads. So you're gonna need flour. Bisquick doesn't last long. We're experimenting right now. I got a bag of just generic buttermilk biscuit batter powder, and we set it up on a shelf, and I'm going to watch it over the next few months or years and see what happens to it. Because I don't know if Bisquick by itself or if you just get – we got the bulk food stuff, and I put some in a clear bag. Things for thickening up and making gravies with. Baking powders, gravy mixes. The first of the month we went down, we bought everything you could imagine to make gravies, sauces, crock pot cooking, because we have a solar oven, which is basically like cooking in a crock pot in the summer. For those of you that haven't used a solar oven, you put a chicken in there, you put a bunch of vegetables in there, you put some spices, 2 cups of water, and you let it cook all day long. The last time we did it, it took 8 hours, but I'm telling you, the chicken fell off the bone. I diced up some carrots, 4 potatoes. I put in cream of chicken soup instead of 1 cup of water. And then I put in a bunch of spices that came in a pouch for chicken. I don't know what all spices were in there. It cost me 50 cents. Is that some of the best chicken? It basically came out as chicken soup that you had to clench your teeth to get the bones out. We had to take the bones and throw them out for the cats. But it was amazingly good. Amazingly good. Another thing don't ignore, and they're a little bit more expensive, somewhere around $2 to $3 a can, canned beef, canned chicken, deviled ham. What were some of the other things that we got? They're bigger than a tuna can. They have more servings in them. We bought a bunch of that. You take that, you brown it in a pan, you cook up your ramen noodles boiling, you put in your beef flavoring or your chicken flavoring, the noodles, and then toss that chicken in there. People get mad at me because I don't really push the vegetables enough. I'm not a big vegetable fan. I've been eating broccoli and stuff like that now. And if you're not growing it, but if you have canned corn, canned carrots, canned potatoes, throw them in there too. Make a meal out of it. Get that caloric intake up. You snare a couple rabbits, do that. But have the canned food in case you start to fail at this whole gardening and animal husbandry thing. It's going to be tough. The first time you try to make cheese, the first time, because you probably haven't been practicing now. If you have been, God bless you. But that's why it's strictly imperative that you have these foods to fall back on. Don't just have a bunch of seeds and go, well, we're going to be okay. You know how long it takes for carrots to grow?
Yeah.
Onions, chives, watermelon. You ain't going to have it. And then you're going to have to use it because unless you've got canning facilities, you're not going to be able to preserve it. And if you're living off the land, guess what? Everybody else around you is living off the land too, especially those of you that live in cities. There's not going to be a whole lot of poke salad being made in that city park. The dandelions will disappear real quick. So if you've got this bulk food built up and ready to go, I think that's the best bet for you. Canned foods, the powdered foods, those types of things. And the other thing is learn how to cook this stuff now. And I'm not bagging on women because men should already know this, but a lot of the women out there don't know how to cook this way anymore. They don't know how to cook from what I would call scratch. If I came home and handed Stacy 5 quail, I know that there would be a meal in the afternoon for me because she would figure it out. She's done it before. She knows how to do it. And that's where the women need to be at with this. We all have our roles. The kids should be out with sticks bonking quail on the head and bringing them home, Lou, or popping them with a pellet gun. Huh? I bet you could if you tried hard enough with your new camouflage you're wearing. Did I mention the new camouflage yet?
No.
Oh, just a little aside here. I tell you guys, we've got this secondhand store here called The Thingery. It's run by the Women's Auxiliary. They raise money for starving kids and widows and orphans and that kind of thing. People donate stuff to this all the time. I go in there all the time and I get like a Cabela's jacket for $1, $2. And then somebody will see it. They'll go, hey, I have that same jacket. Really, what'd you pay for it? $85. What'd you pay for it? $3. I love doing that to Roe on Bible study night because he's one of our members that comes up and he buys from Cabela's. Today, Lou went in there and he got There's a military high school down the hill, and their school uniform is whatever the branch of the Army is wearing. Well, they're switching their patterns of camouflage, so they got donated to several places, and somebody obviously that lived up here donated it. And he's got the digital camouflage blouse. I can't even explain this because it's nothing like I used to wear in the military. It's got a zipper on it instead of buttons for the blouse. It's got places to insert elbow and knee pads on the pants, too. Pockets everywhere, Velcro everywhere. We pulled all the American flag Velcro and the school academy and the captain rank off of it and the name off of it. There were three sets that fit Lewis. So we brought him up to the counter. We said, well, what are these going to cost? And she goes and gets out this big book. Okay, $2 for the shirt, $3 for the pants. So it came to $15. I went online, given the name of the contractor that made them. These things were worth like $280 for three sets. Ripstop. So we swept it up. Start hitting the secondhand stores again, especially if these military units are changing their uniforms. They're going to start dumping them. I know down by Lemoore here in Lemoore, California, we go to the Kings Canyon Christian School. They've got flight suits, BDUs, everything you can imagine, about half the price you're going to pay. Now, you won't always get the killer deals like we do because we're special, but be on the lookout out there. So Lou's sitting here wearing the blouse with all the Velcro on it. I don't know if you can hear that. It's like a real good uniform. Just has to get the elbow pads and the knee pads. What we'll do is we'll cut up one of our many old ratty sleeping bag pads and put the elbow pads in them, all of his uniforms, and he's ready to go. He's got a full combat load of uniforms now for $15. Now, the modern guerrilla fighter has to be frugal. Even if you're rich, you shouldn't be wasting your money on all this new equipment and all this new gear and all the freeze-dried food and all that kind of stuff. If you got five families together, you might get a mill so you can grind wheat or something and store bulk wheat. That's not what I'm talking about. But making sure you have the latest ACOG sight on your 12-gauge shotgun. I just saw that on the internet. Some guy said, hey, you like my shotgun? It's all tricked out with an M4 folding, you know, collapsible stock. He's got this laser sight on it. He's got this hologram heads-up ACOG sight on it. I'm like, it's a shotgun. You don't need a laser sight on a shotgun. You don't need a hologram sight on a shotgun. Why do you need a collapsible stock on a shotgun? Unfortunately, most of the Ricky Rescue Rangers out there are wasting their money. So this show is geared towards the people that are frugal, and we pull. We were born poor white children. And we don't have a whole lot of stuff. So that's why I'm telling you how to build your food cache, your uniforms, your gear. What do we got here? That's an interesting point. General Carver points out that there may be tags in them for unit identification for friendlies, IR, infrared. When we were in, we just put Ranger eyes on the back of our hats, little glow stuff. But we have heard that, too, from our Oath Keeper constituents. Those guys, they tell us that there is stuff in these uniforms. I don't know what we would do. I have to find out, look up on the internet, should we microwave them or something to shut it down? There may be infrared and there may be also radio signal stuff in these uniforms. Given that they were issued to a high school, that doesn't always mean anything. These are the high school students who are trained to disarm us veterans, from what we saw in a video. Great point. When you're getting this old camouflage, check it out thoroughly. Look for little crunchy bits. Look for little hard bits in the seams. Look for everything, because you never know where it is. Although, that may come handy in battle, too, depending on who we're fighting. If they scan you with night vision and they see an indicator, hey, that's one of ours. Just a point, but excellent point. So I have to lean over and read the chat over there, because my computer's still loading. It reset after being updated, which means it probably won't work. But these things are out there. Well, yeah, we'll look at it with night vision, too. But I'm worried about radio signal stuff, too, that they put in. We'll be able to see. We'll also we'll wash it in we have these detergents that kill the UV and stuff in it, like hunters use. So we wash it in that stuff and make sure that it's all good to go. And he'll be ready. He's looking pretty sharp. I wish I was a tiny little kid again like you are. Because it's size small, short. And that's size I wore in the Army back in the late 80s, early 90s. Now, they don't make a size for guys my size. I'm still short. But you're all smug about it, aren't you, Lou? He's over there going, yeah. Don't cough in the microphone. You'll get everybody sick. Go ahead and go to commercial right now, Lou. Make sure you play the commercial this time. Make sure you guys check out stuff. We did get a donation of $25. We still need another $28 and some cents to pay the electric bill. But we've got other costs here, too. If you can, if the Lord moves you to, please donate. We'll be right back.
In May of 1941, the war had just begun. The Germans had the biggest ship that had the biggest guns. The Bismarck was the fastest ship that ever sailed the sea. On her decks were guns as big as steers and sails as big as trees. Out of the cold and foggy night came the British ship, the Hood. And every British seaman, he knew and understood. They had to sink the Bismarck, the terror of the sea. Stop those guns as big as steers and those shells as big as trees. We find that German battleship that's making such a fuss. We gotta sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
He hit the decks a-running, boys, and spin those guns around.
When we find the Bismarck, we gotta cut her down. The Hood found the Bismarck, and on that fatal day,
the Bismarck started firing 15 miles away. We gotta sink the Bismarck, was the battle sound.
But when the smoke had cleared away, the mighty Hood went down. For 6 long days and weary nights, they tried to find her trail.
Churchill told the people, put every ship a sail. Cause somewhere on that ocean, I know she's gotta be.
We gotta sink the Bismarck to the bottom of the sea. We find that German battleship that's making such a fuss. We gotta sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
Hit the decks a-running, boys, and spin those guns around.
When we find the Bismarck, we gotta cut her down. The fog was gone the seventh day and they saw the morning sun.
10 hours away from homeland, the Bismarck made its run. The admiral of the British fleet said, turn those bows around.
We found that German battleship and we're gonna cut her down. The British guns were aimed and the shells were coming fast.
The first shell hit the Bismarck, they knew she couldn't last. That mighty German battleship is just a memory.
Sink the Bismarck was the battle cry that shook the seven seas. We found that German battleship was making such a fuss. We had to sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
We hit the deck a-running and we spun those guns around. Yeah,
we found that mighty Bismarck and then we cut her down. We found the German battleship for making such a fuss. We had to sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
We hit the deck a-running and we spun those guns around.
We found the mighty Bismarck and then we cut her down.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Okay, we're back. Looks like we're only going to do about another 15 minutes today. We're just having too many problems with the computers. So you folks in the chat room, when our buddy Ed comes from Liberty Tree Radio, let him know just to loop it. And we're very thankful for them. It's just the computers keep shutting down, and we're having trouble keeping them up. So I don't know. It doesn't look like there's a haze or anything out there, so the satellite link isn't it. But we're back, and we're talking about storing, collecting, and protecting your family's future. By being wise with the things that the Lord has given you. Isn't that right, Lynn? Spending $15 on 3 uniforms, that sounds pretty good steward of your money, isn't it? Say it to the mic, not to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Penn and Teller on the radio, Lou. You got to say something, or they're not going to believe you exist. I remember people asking me, they didn't think you were real. Yeah, huh? Oh, yeah, Stacy's looking at you. Your mom's looking at your uniforms. What?
Everyone knows Teller exists.
Yeah, but they don't know you exist, because you hardly ever say anything. Except, uh-huh.
Teller exists.
I know Teller exists, but we don't know if you exist.
But there's a vital difference. You're not gay.
Penn and Teller are gay?
What?
I'd never heard that. What do you mean Lewis isn't gay? I thought he was gay. See, that'll get him to talk.
Penn has a wife.
Yeah, Penn has a wife. A really hot wife.
And he has two daughters.
Yeah, really stupid daughters, but I don't know. That's not true. Yeah. But anyway, I don't know where that went with that, but that kind of tells you why we should only do an hour today. Spam, those of you that are fans of Spam, it does last a while. So Spam is a little more expensive when we're talking about our $25 to $30 a month thing. But once you get the basics down, one can of Spam will feed 2 to 3 people one good meal a day. And you always hear the stories about the Japanese soldiers that survived on a handful of rice and a dead rat a day. What's this? Yeah, go ahead and call in. The phone number to call in on is the same one that normally gets called in on, and we can finish up a few minutes with that. Oh, you don't need to put the phone over here. Thank you, though. Let me make sure the button's pushed. If you want to call in, go ahead. We've got a few minutes to finish off this hour. We've got about 13 minutes before we call it quits, so go ahead, call in, Border Guardian. Give us an update, and that'd be a nice way to round out the hour before we get ready to do Bible study. But Spam, I was going to tell you, they made a special edition of Spam for Hawaii because that's the number one consumer of Spam in the U.S.
Yeah.
When I went to Hawaii a couple of times, you go to the Walmart and Spam is like huge and it's like really cheap there. Oh, I'm just calling on that one. Hello.
Hi, it's Lane Lawless.
Well, hello, Lane.
Is this Dutch?
This is Dutch. You are live on the air. We got a few more minutes before we decide to call it quits for today's abbreviated edition of the Dutch Jones Radio Show. What do you have for us?
Okay, I thought I'd just give you a little quickie about the Shawna Ford trial. Kim Smith of the Red Star over Arizona is what we call it, but it's actually the Arizona Daily Star, a major newspaper in Tucson, posted something. She always posts, it's always posted at midnight, so you got to stay up late if you want to see what
the nice
is. She's got a story. Defendant Ford won't take the stand in her own defense.
Yeah, well, that's her right.
You know, like it's a big honking deal. The way
they hardly ever do.
The way she writes the story, it's like, and she said that Judge Leonardo asked her to, you know, would not take the stand, and she responded, "That's correct." And so Kim Smith sees the story, and she's acting like, oh, Shawna Ford just decided this week that she wasn't going to take the stand. And it's like, you know, her legal team and she have had a year and a half to discuss these things. And it's not like it just came up last week or this week and she said, nope, I don't want to take the stand.
Yeah. It's like, actually, after all the evidence has been put forth, she doesn't even really need to. It sounds like the prosecution witnesses have pretty much thrown out everything they've said.
They haven't proved their case, and, you know, it's just so funny when the, you know, the so-called power structure tries to prove a case. It's nothing but BS. It's hearsay. The witnesses are all very shaky. They didn't know that they were supposed to try and send this woman, you know, to the needle, so to speak, or to lethal injection. And they're so shaky. Every one of them was. When Owen Oakstar's longtime girlfriend got on the stand the other day, I think it was Tuesday, and she said he's been a liar all his life, he's high all the time, that the only reason why he decided to testify is because he wanted to protect his son, didn't want his family executed, and he didn't want to go to prison being a known snitch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he violated his parole anyway, didn't he?
He violated his probation because he was doing drugs and he wasn't checking in with his probation officer.
Yeah, so it just sounds like a real bright individual all around, doesn't it?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I think Betty from the border went down there and she looked at him. She said, what woman would want that man?
Yeah.
Fat, he's unkempt, he's greasy, he's high all the time. Ew, what woman would want him?
Well, hopefully the jury is picking up on all this and they're not part of the problem.
Well, the jury's the only folks that matter, and I'm seriously expecting Shauna's trial to be over this week. As far as I know,
wow.
It's going to go to the jury tomorrow afternoon, and I
wow.
guess the jury will make up their mind whenever they do. I would think that if they come in rather quickly, they're going to vote for acquittal because there just isn't enough evidence to convict her.
Which is funny because it doesn't even sound like there was enough evidence to indict her.
You know, let me tell you what I've been doing today. I'm working on 3 bar complaints again, and I'm working on a complaint against the judge. Now, you know how I like to push the envelope, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, I like to test the limits of free speech. And so I'm going to complain about the judge telling me all these things, which didn't apparently make it into the written record. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if any of them made them into the transcript or not, because, you know,
yeah,
that's 350 a page, and it's not available now. You know, they'll do everything they can to put you off.
Right.
But the bottom line is, and there are serious free speech issues involved in this case, and it's not just about me. It's about the website. It's about what other people might say. You know, for the judge to tell me I can't talk to media and to shut up right now while the trial's going on, come on, you know, this is when we're going to get more bang for our buck, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
This is when people want to listen, so...
Well, that's why he did it. He doesn't want you to have any benefit for justice.
Right, exactly. So I figure I'm going to file bar complaints against all the attorneys. And
excellent.
That's Eric Larson, who I've already filed a 9-page bar complaint against. And some of my responses to that bar complaint forced a special court session, which nobody liked. And that was dismissed, unfortunately. I'm going to file a bar complaint against the prosecutors, Kelly Johnson and Rick Unclesby, for all of them, for conspiring to keep me out of that courtroom. They didn't want me in there. They didn't even want me in the courthouse because someone might tell the truth about what was actually going on in the Shauna Ford trial.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anybody do it yet. And the only truth you're going to find is on our website, justiceforshaunaford.com. So I'm going to file a complaint against the judge, too, and I can cite the judicial rules that he's violated. I'll tell you, I'm feisty when I get a heat on and somebody's screwed me over. I'm a tough broad to deal with.
Well, I think the key thing here is that because you are being like a badger at their heels, I love using the word badger whenever I can on the radio, and they want to do everything in the dark and under the cover of their legal system so that if they are going to railroad her, they don't want any witnesses. And having a person in there that is not on their payroll, that can't be twisted by fear, that scares them to death. That's why they didn't want you in there, not because you were a potential witness, but because you were a potential court watcher, and that freaks them out.
You're probably right about that, and you heard from a couple of Shauna's other supporters last night. So they're looking out for her interests, and
yeah.
Somebody will be in court tomorrow again as well. You know, people will be going periodically. We just don't have full coverage because I've more or less dedicated the last year and a half of my life to watching what's going on. But the whole plan with Pima County was to take Shauna Ford. She was a targeted individual because she'd gotten very bad media for 6 months prior to her being arrested. That caused her to become a targeted individual. And Pima County said, we're going to take this woman, we're going to make an example of her to the Minutemen, and we're going to put her where the sun don't never shine, and no one's going to object.
Yeah, the goal was to get those border watchers out of Pima County, and out of Arizona, actually.
Exactly.
But they would have settled for just Pima County, because that maniac Dupnik didn't like them coming down there and bringing attention to what he's doing.
Well, there was a point at which Ron Weedow, who was one of the FBI informants, was
That's right.
And And he was talking to the FBI about the alleged suspicions he had about Shauna. And the FBI said to him, don't talk to Dubnyk about this. In other words, Dubnyk's dirty. Don't talk to him because he's corrupt. That's the message that got out of that.
That's it.
And when that other guy, Anglo,
mm-hmm.
Robert Copley was testifying yesterday, one of our supporters could say, well, boy, I could tell Shauna was absolutely furious when he was testifying. Her face was red. She was, you know, which I can understand. I mean, the betrayal. It's horrible how all the Minutemen ran away from her. It's like, oh, no, she's not one of us. I got a friend right now who's a writer who actually gets paid for what he does. He's trying to find a website that will pay him and host his article about the first day of trial, how shaky the witnesses were.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I said, well, we'll put it on our website. He's still trying to sell it now, though, so it'll probably be up there sometime tomorrow about the first day of trial. What a poor witness Gina Gonzalez was.
You know, this stuff, it's funny because it almost sounds like a movie of the week, but it's even worse because there's really no case here. You can't have a plot line without an actual amount of evidence for your, you know, I'm going to say villain because that's what they're saying she is, but it's like they just got off on the wrong foot from the first step, and they just, a comedy of errors, and Dubnyk and the DA have been trying to cover up for it ever since.
Well, the fact of the matter is that a good private defense attorney and a truly impartial judge would have dismissed the charges and let the defendant go.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them would have worked together to serve the interests of justice. And we don't have that in this case.
When I was involved in law enforcement, if I'd have brought that amount of evidence to the DA, they would have laughed at us. They would have said, go do your job and bring me some real evidence. This is a waste of the court and the DA's office time. I mean, after looking over it, it's like there's nothing there. Hearsay of hearsay, mixed up eyewitness accounts, the people that are willing to, you know, supposed co-conspirators have everything to gain by lying.
Yeah, they're being paid by law enforcement to lie.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just evidence of how far the system has fallen in our nation that this stuff kind of goes on. And that, and like I always say, you know, people go, why are you even interested in this? Well, today it's Shauna, tomorrow it could be any one of us.
Well, and it could be any one of us who's been run down by the media, and nasty things have been written about us for X number of months or whatever, and then we're softened up, which makes us a targeted individual for whoever's corrupt who wants to take us down. And if the rest of us turn our backs on our brothers and sisters, then pretty soon there won't be any of us to fight back.
Yeah, what you're seeing today is the modern-day version. I'm not going to say high-tech lynching because I don't believe in that. But it's like when the Romans would throw the Christians to the lions. That's what it is. The media loves it. They thrive on it. It's fun to write about people blowing little girls' heads off for them. They may say, oh, it's an atrocity, but they love it. If it bleeds, it leads.
Exactly.
And so they just eat this stuff up. The government needs it to justify their authoritative iron boot on the necks of free people. It's just, it's perfect for a whole industry and a whole institution to do this. But they need grist for the mill, and that's what people like Shauna are. And guess what? There's going to be more of it. Once they fail here with Shauna, and I'm beginning to think they're gonna, unless it's completely rigged, I mean, anything's possible, they're going to pick somebody else. They're going to pick somebody else in maybe New Mexico or Texas. They're going to keep doing this till they get it right. That's the stupidity of tyranny.
Well, and the sad thing about this is that if Gina Gonzalez actually told the truth about who was in her home and who shot her and her family that night, she'd be dead.
Yeah.
Because
they live next door.
Part of a cartel, you snitch on your cartel. That's why Owen Oakstar is so afraid. That's why he wants to protect his son.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to go to prison, because what happens to snitches in prison?
Yeah, the worst of the worst. Well, Lane, thank you for calling in. We're going to end it right now. We're only going to do an hour today. Thank you for calling in, and always feel free to do that, Lane. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay. Folks, this has been the Dutch Jones Show, an abbreviated 1 hour because it is Wednesday Bible study night, and I want to get into a mindset for Bible study. And my computer's doing all kinds of weird things. So when Ed jumps in, just tell him to repeat the first hour. Hopefully there was some words of wisdom in there you can use. I was just answering some emails and covering some stuff that other people have asked me about in the last few days and that are getting a little scared. Don't be scared. Start tomorrow. Start tomorrow. Don't start the day after tomorrow. Start tomorrow. Remember, we got